ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रुण्वन्नोतिभिः सीद श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् इन्द्रियार्थेषु वैराग्यम् अनहङ्कार एव च जन्ममृत्युजराव्याधिदुःखदोषानुदर्शनम् We are looking at a set of qualities of the heart and mind called jnanam. That is the name of the list of qualities called jnanam. Jnayate anena iti jnanam. So this is what we call karana vyutpatti. So by the time you acquire some of these qualities, you will come to know. That insight you will get. Come to know doesn't mean you acquire the information and store it in the memory. That is not the knowledge we are talking about. So as Ratna Prabhakara says, that kind of bauddhika vijnana is not what we are talking of. We are talking of Vedanta vijnana, not bauddhika vijnana. And so that way we can memorize and store in the mind and pick it out at any time. It is what we call buddhi. You are not buddhi. Buddhi is a kshetram. Mahabhutanyahankaraha buddhi ravyaktamevacha. So buddhi is a kshetram. Intellect, you are not the intellect. So we are not talking of putting a few things in the intellect. We are talking of that insight, that wisdom. So that wisdom is gained by acquiring these qualities of heart and mind. You see, we are searching for God. Without understanding God properly, we are searching for God. And by the time you understand God properly, you will discover God as your own true self. And that discovery, so gaining Ishvara, discovery of Ishvara or gaining Ishvara is no different from gaining the Sadgunas. So, sadguna praptireva ishvara praptihi. As you gain these gunas, these qualities of heart and mind, that is how you gain Ishvara. Ishvara is not a gentleman or is not a huge boulder-like thing which you go and embrace. It is not any such thing. Gaining of Ishvara is a gaining of one's own true self. So, how are you going to gain the true self? You have to remove the obstacles that cover up the true self. So this is the process of jnanam. One of those qualities is indriyartheshu vairagyam. So there is the indriya, the sense organ here, and the sense object in the outside world. Take it like that. So that is in a given situation, we take it like that. So indriya, the ears I have, the shabda, the music is outside. And the taste buds I have, and the rasa, the tastes, are outside. So these are the indriyartha. So when the things of when the sense objects are outside, and I have sense organs, not only I have sense organs, I am the sense organs, that identification. And I am the sense organs, and sense objects are in the outside world, so that situation is a it is ripe for creating a connection or a bondage. Now, I am bound to the outside world because I have the sense organs and I am the sense organs and the sense objects are outside. So, I have the eyesight and the beautiful flowers are outside. Therefore, if I close the eyes and sit like this, what I get out of it? Nothing. I have to open the eyes and somebody has to put beautiful flowers there. I see them and I enjoy. This is what people say, you know, enjoy. So put a plate of food there and enjoy. So you have the sense organs and here is the sense object. Come on, put contact between the two and enjoy. This culture of enjoyment, this is called raga. It is not about eating a particular item of food or about looking at a flower. It is a culture. It is a conditioning in which we live. And so this culture is not suitable for Vedanta Jnana. It is not suitable. In fact, this culture of sensual enjoyment, this culture we create it. Bhagavan doesn't create it, society doesn't create it, you and I create it. And we become the victims of what we create. And so, this is how human beings live, by giving extraordinary significance to sensual values or pleasures. This is how human beings live. This is the bane of the human existence, that human being a sentient being, that is what a human being is. So the sentient being is now tied up or tethered to the insentient objects of the world. That is his bane. And we carry this bane to the grave. Therefore, the moment you open the Shastra, the moment you open it, the Shastra advises you to cut asunder these bondages. So, develop what is called Vairagya. And so it all begins with Vairagya. Indriyartheshu Vairagyam. You see, Vairagya is a negative thing it is. You learn by negation. You do not learn anything by acquiring. Even acquiring words is also an acquiring only. Acquisitiveness. We acquire words just like we acquire wealth. So, human mind functions like that. Now, Google has made a massive, mammoth database. Newest thing it is. So, yesterday it came in New York Times. So, the mammoth database of 500 billion words. Mammoth database. By digitalizing 5 million free downloadable books. Now Google has done it first. Nobody else has done it. So, now they have search engines. So, now you can search. Like as silly a thing as, in the last 100 years, the word woman, how many times it is used? Tuck, 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 it will tell on so many times it is used. Now what will you do with that? People are nuts, I tell you. So, this is the acquisitiveness. You want to acquire words and words and words. Sometimes the students of Vedanta are not an exception to this attitude, this human attitude. So, it is not about acquisitiveness. It is about giving up. That is what it is all about, if you like it or not. So, because you need cessation. It is difficult to work in this world. And it is even more difficult to refrain from unnecessary work. What you need is not to do some more work. What you need is to refrain from unnecessary work. What you need is cessation. What you need is relinquishing. What you need is disentanglement. That is what we need. That is what is called Vairagya. It is all negation, negative. So, that raga, opposite of raga is a Vairagya. The raga towards the sense objects, it leads to value the sense objects. Because of the flower is valuable. Why it is valuable? So he says, 12 roses, 999. Who cares for your roses? 12 or 1200? I don't care for your roses. Then what happens to the value? What is the value of those roses? Zero. Right? So, when you are attached to a thing, when you have that raga to a thing, out of that raga, A value is created for the thing. Value not in dollars alone. Dollars is one measure of the value. There is now a value for the thing. Why there is a value for the thing? Because of the raga. Because of our raga, the thing acquires a value. And because now it has a value, now I am attracted to it. Because it is valuable. Therefore I am attracted. I am attached. Now it acquires value. Therefore I am attracted towards that. And this is how I am attached or I am bound to the things of the world, to the samsara. This bondage, this raga, or this attraction to samsara leads to a long chain of actions. People perform long chain of actions and thereby they are now bound for good in the chain of actions. So, you see, I'll tell you a rule. What you believe you need is not what you need. That is not what you need. What you need is altogether different. What you believe you need is not what you need. As we are attracted towards the things of the world, we are living in a very unnatural state. That is a very unnatural state. We have to return to the natural state. And that natural state is a state of abidance in oneself, remaining desireless and fearless, totally free from the psychological dependence upon the things of the world. Totally free. To be at comfort, to remain at comfort, to remain happy, I do not need anything of this world. Anything. I do not even need the body-mind. That is the truth. And that abidance in that truth is the natural state. And our state is not a natural state. It is a very unnatural, abnormal state in which we crave for the things of the world and thereby we become a slave. We become slaves to the world. And what about these bhogas? The topic is indriyartheshu vairagyam, you know. That's why the description will be on these lines only for an hour. And then we can go and have a cup of coffee. So this is the topic, you have to bear with me. So because that was the topic, aisa hi hai, kya kare? So, Raja, Maharaja, the great kings and emperors, etc., they come and gone, they came and went, and they have enjoyed great bhogas. So what is the outcome? And what is the end of this path of sensual pleasures? So, it really doesn't help. That value created for bhogas, there is a name given to it. It is called bhagyam. That is the name given. Bhagya. So, bhagya means you possess many, many things of the world. That is called bhagyam. Yasyam hiranyam prabhutam gavo dasyoshvana vindeyam purushanaham. So, prabhutam hiranyam, lot of gold. Dasyaha purushan, maid servants and the man servants. Maid servants and servants. Servants, male, for the outside work and maid servants at home. And then ashva means the cars for travel all around. That is the ashva. Ashva don't say horses. Nobody wants horses nowadays. And gavaha. Gavaha means cattle wealth. Dhanam, dhanyam, etc. All these things I need. Vindeyam may I get. This is the prayer. So in a given context that is the prayer. And that is all called bhagya. And so this is all these things one has, that is called bhagya. He is bhagyavan. Why? He wears a wonderful costly dress and his wife wears a lot of jewelry and she is walking by his side. Therefore, he is Bhagyavan. He is Bhagyavan because of the jewelry on his wife's body. Kya baat hai? This is Bhagya. So, Shankara says in one place, na vishaya bhogo bhagyam. This vishaya bhoga, enjoyment of the sense objects, it is not bhagya. People misunderstand that it is bhagya. And they do prayers in that line. So religion is also going after that only. Just because a person is religious, that doesn't mean he is wise. That doesn't make anybody wise. It only proves that he is now using religion for his worldly goals. That only it proves. Now he wants God to support his worldly goals. Itna hi baat hai. Nothing more. It doesn't make him any superior. He continues to be a worldly person. So anyway, na vishaya bhogo bhagyam. That is not bhagya. Yogyam kela yatra jantu matram. Any animal is equal in that kind of bhagya. Some of the dogs in America are better than even human beings in India. So you don't call that bhagyam. The dog travels in a BMW car, in an air-conditioned car, in the back seat, diagonally opposite to the driver. That is the seat of the master of the car. In India, that is how we look at, that is the etiquette. The seat is behind and diagonal to the driving person. That is the master's seat. And in that seat, this dog sits. And it will be looking out through the glass window, sometimes half open or sometimes fully closed, whatever. It looks out at people who are walking on the footpath. And they look at it and then wonder at the glory of the master, whose dog is like that. So, this is all a delusion. And you see, people are deluded, but we are also deluded. That is the misfortune, you know. So, yogyam kala yatra jantu matram. Brahmendra rudram rugyam bhagyam vishayeshu vairagyam. That is the bhagya. I can look at the things of the world without being attracted, without being disturbed, so without being bound, that is the bhagya. You can just look at it and smile and walk away. You can turn your back upon the world. That is the bhagya. Not acquiring things in the name of worldliness, that is not bhagya. You see, an ambitious person, if his ambition is fulfilled, if his ambition is not fulfilled, he ends in despair. But when his ambition is fulfilled, then what? Then he is in seventh heaven. That is how it is, you know. So the person is in the seventh heaven. That state of euphoria, that the so-called seventh heaven state, is also just as despairing in another way. It is just as despairing, because that is a giddy state of mind. In that giddy state of mind, in that self-satisfied condition, in that self-congratulatory mode, the person is not able to know the true self. He will not be able to know the true self. And now, that giddy condition will never last. It cannot last. You know, if the condition lasts, the brain cells will die. It cannot last. By nature, it has to go, so that the person comes down to the normal level. The nervous system, the body, the neurons, etc., they come down to the normal level. They cannot maintain in that excited, giddy state for any length of time. The person gets burnt out. So that state of self-satisfaction cannot be maintained for any length of time. And it is gone. Soon it is gone. And when it is gone, the person is back to despair. This is the life of celebrities. If you care to understand. Therefore, if you are interested in grasping the true self, you have to first get established in Vairagya. So, because, you see, what is this ambition? You are emotionally attached to something, say some wealth, etc. And then when your ambition is fulfilled, your emotion gets satisfied, self-satisfactory emotion, you become emotionally very fulfilled. But the fact is, you are not emotions. You are not the psyche. You are not the intellect. You are not. So, even when in a self-satisfied or self-congratulatory condition, you are identifying with the non-self. You are making a mistake. You are not supposed to make that mistake. If you are a student, if you are aspiring to know the self, you are not supposed to make that mistake. And therefore, this competitiveness, acquisitiveness, ambition, etc., they are meant for worldly people. A young man who is not experienced in life, it is meant for him. Not for wise people, not for grown-up people, not for people who are aspiring to gain the knowledge of the self. So, therefore, indriyartheshu vairagyam. You see, what the human being needs, what you need is to be what you are. That is what you have to be what you are. To be what you are, you have to stop running after the non-self. So that is the primary condition. I stop running after the non-self. I stop being attracted towards the non-self. And I stop acting to acquire the non-self. All that is a precondition to be what you are. And you need nothing except to be what you are. So, therefore, Vairagya becomes very important. People assume that they increase their value by acquisition. My value increases by acquiring more land, more buildings, or more gold. Gold is some example. Please don't mind. A little gold is okay. I am not against it. Some cultural gold is okay. But acquiring more gold. In India, we have this madness. On Akshaya Tritiya day, you should purchase at least 1 gram gold. Silly! Who will purchase 1 gram gold? Nobody sells also. So you go and purchase at least 100 grams gold. On Akshaya Tritiya day, they make huge profits, these gold people. Now they are contaminating or adulterating gold with iridium also. Anyway, so it is all madness. And people imagine that their value increases by acquisition. So, it is like gold imagining that its value increases by adding copper to itself. It is like that. So, what we need is not acquisition. What we need is elimination, purification. You don't add copper. By adding copper to gold, value of gold doesn't increase. You have to remove copper from gold. Then gold value increases. So, elimination, purification. And in the context of a student of Vedanta, renunciation of all that is non-self. Gold becomes pure by renouncing all that is non-gold. Similarly, the sadhaka has to renounce all that is non-self. And so, he has to remain in his true nature, which is the pure being. He has to be what he is. He has to be in his pure nature. And that is how he comes to know the truth, he comes to know the self, not by acquiring things. All of this is vanity, nothing more than that. Therefore, indriyartheshu, vairagyam is an important qualification. So we have to practice it in day-to-day life, we have to practice it. So acquiring enslaves, giving up liberates. You have to give up. Don't say we need not give up for vairagya. You are wrong. You have to give up. You have to give up. Don't recount what all you have given up. That is not important. What is important is what else you have to give up. Look into it. That is important. What all one has given up, just recounting those things, I have given up that, I have given up this. So Sunday morning I gave up some wonderful things and sitting in the Gita class, what else I have to give up? So that is not the point. What all you have given up is not the point. What else you have to give up is the point. So, because freedom comes through renunciation and all possession is bondage. All possession is bondage. Think about it. Don't block it. How can that be? If you say already you have put a block, you should not put blocks like that. You have to be totally empty and open and think about it. You see, you have to stand outside your mind because all attachment is in the mind. And you have to stand outside your mind and watch and understand. From that, be a witness, uninvolved witness. Be the centerless observation and watch the mind. And step outside the mind and watch the mind. You will soon find that total renunciation of possessions and desires is the most obvious and reasonable thing to do to gain that self, to gain the truth of the self. That is the most obvious and the reasonable thing to do. It is so easy to know if only I step outside of my mind. And so this is mine, this is me, all these possessions, acquisitions, etc. It is all in the mind, a silly, idiotic mind. And so if only you step outside the mind and watch the mind, you will clearly see that what all you need to do is give up all possessions and become free. That is the only obvious thing to do. And you will see it clearly. That is how. So we have to understand, because you create the world and you worry about it. You create possessions and then start worrying about it. First half of the life is spent in acquiring, and second half of the life is spent in worrying about keeping what you have acquired. And in the meanwhile, life is gone. Also, once a person is acquisitive, ambitious, he is obviously selfish. And a selfish person, a self-seeking person, is weak and vulnerable. So, you see, young people may say, we have the courage and the strength to desire, to fulfill, and to enjoy. That is what the youngsters claim. So they say all those things because they are young and inexperienced. They just don't know. Let them live in their dream for a while, then they will know. So then they will know. A young man, not a young man, always I remember this example. Always I remember. He is in 30s. He tells me he understood the meaning of vairagya when somebody has stolen his wife. That is what he tells me. So, inexperienced. These youngsters are very inexperienced. They don't know what is life. They are carried away because the physical is strong and the mind is also strong. The cells are still very strong. So they are carried away by that euphoria. They are very inexperienced. Don't take those words seriously. They don't know. So, indriyartheshu vairagyam is the thing. So, that way we have to understand and proceed forward. అనహంకార ఏవచ శంకరా మేక్స్ థింగ్స్ వెరీ సింపుల్. శబ్దాదిషు దృష్టాదృష్టేషు భోగేషు విరాగభావ ఇంక్లూడ్స్ స్వర్గ ఆల్సో, బికాజ్ ఏ వైదిక ఈజ్ మూవ్డ్ బై దిస్ ఐడియా ఆఫ్ స్వర్గ. ఫర్ ఏ వైదిక స్వర్గ ఈజ్ ది ఆల్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ ఫర్ హిమ్. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ ఇంక్లూడ్స్ దట్ ఆల్సో స్వర్గ ఎట్సెట్రా. ఇన్ ది వరల్డ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ డ్రివెన్ బై స్వర్గ ఐడియా. You have to see it to believe it. They are driven by this swarga idea that heaven will come. Because here life is very very uncomfortable, very painful, struggling. So, especially in Asiatic societies, which are not as developed as here, here swarga may not have that much of a fascination because they almost have a swarga around them, a kind of swarga around them. And so vishalam swargalokam vishalam, they have wide open roads and wide open skies, etc. So a kind of a swarga, they have all comforts. So if it is hot, they cool it down, and if it is cool, they heat it up. So they have everything. Whereas in some of the underdeveloped countries, what they call developing countries. Developing country means what? Not developed ityartha. So in those countries, life is very painful. It is a struggle. It's a hard struggle. For example, in Hyderabad, if you want to go from one place to another place, it is an effort. You have to come out with your bag onto the road and then look around and see what will happen, how you are going to make it, etc., etc. So it is not easy. Even for such a small thing, you need to put in a lot of effort, physical as well as mental. Whereas here, you sit in the car and Salosburg, 3 miles. In Hyderabad, I would take anywhere between 20 to 30 minutes time to cover that 3 miles. Then Salosburg, 2 miles, half a minute. And then 1 mile, and you are in Salosburg already. So, the roads are meant for the cars, and the cars were meant for the roads, and the people are meant for the driving. So, it is all very amazing. It is a kind of swarga itself. Whereas, That 3 miles will occupy my energy and effort, my mind it will occupy at least for an hour or so. I have to go 3 miles and I have to come back 3 miles. It is an occupation for the mind. So people are struggling for small things also, and therefore the description of heaven becomes very important. And therefore a heaven is described. This is how it is. It is how like that. Like that. Even the compound wall is made of gold. My goodness, is it so? Then it is worth going there. So because gold, you know, people are crazy for gold. If compound wall is made of gold, then what to speak of the place? And so the descriptions, they attract the people. Really, they attract the people. The common people are attracted by these descriptions. And therefore, they perform rituals. The rituals for fulfilling this desire. Because many things are not fulfilled in this life, hopefully in the next life. So, even that's why it is always mentioned in the context of vairagya. And also, merely giving up one thing to procure, to get another thing, higher thing, is not relinquishment. You give up. So you donate old car and purchase a new car and say, I am vairagya. That is not vairagya. In fact, they advertise, if you want to give the old car, we will take it with our expenditure. That is how they advertise. Very interesting. Anyway, it is interesting to be. So that is not relinquishing. So give up money, wealth, etc., charity, and you want to acquire heaven. That is not willing, that is not vairagya. That is raga only. So, you have to give up because you see its valuelessness for yourself. That is how you give it up. You see its valuelessness. Gold, I don't have any value for gold, therefore it is already given up. That way, you have to give up. So, I don't have any value for swarga. I don't have any value for these sense pleasures. So that is how you have to give up, not giving up some silly thing and then procuring bigger things. That is not vairagya. And so, you see, what happens is, you start giving up. Actively you start giving up. Practice it. Then you will find that you grow spontaneously. That growth will come spontaneously. The growth in intelligence, not intellect. Growth in intelligence. And the intelligence to see that, to see the life in an altogether new vision. Life is not acquiring a few things around oneself. That is not life at all. And so that intelligence and that insight, that you grow into it, thereby you abide in inexhaustible joy and happiness of vairagya. And vairagya is a freedom from fear. So, like Bhartruhari says, sarvam vastu bhayanvitam bhuvinrunam vairagyam eva bhayam. So, sarvam vastu bhayanvitam. You see, whatever you have you acquire, you have to maintain them and you have to safeguard them, and before death you have to hand them over to somebody. What is all that? That is what is called samsara. So, that is not vairagya. So, when you have that vairagya, sarvam vastu bhayanvitam bhuvin runam. For human beings in this world, runam bhuvi, in this world for human beings, what to speak of the students of Vedanta, for generally human beings in this world, sarvam vastu bhayanvitam, anything you acquire, it comes with the price tag of fear. There is fear in the acquiring. It comes with the fear. And the richer a person is, the more afraid he is. You look at the rich people, their security systems, the types of dogs they have to safeguard them. Look at all that. You see, a friend told me, I was amazed to hear that, they made a temple in gold, a gold temple. Why do you need gold temple? And then they have these Alsatian dogs to protect this temple. You need Alsatian dogs. And suppose somebody by mistake strays, and these dogs will pounce upon him. A sadhu has to take care of these dogs because he has made a thing in gold. What a travesty of truth, you know. Therefore vairagyam, abhayam, fearlessness, is vairagya. Vairagyam eva bhayam. So, you discern and reject all that is unreal. That is how you arrive at the real. You want to keep all the unreal and grab the real also, you are not going to get it. You means not you, that is the style of speaking. So, also, there is no need to change the circumstances. There is no need at all. You have to change your attitude, that alone you have to change. To develop vairagya, you need not change anything in the outside world. What all you have to change is, you have to change your attitude to the outside world. And that is vairagya. Also, I tell you, one has to realize that there is nothing in this world that I can call my own. There is nothing that I can call my own. Still I call my own, it is a sheer madness. And so, when I look at the world, nothing I can call my own. It is like these actors in a movie, so they are provided all kinds of ornaments. This man, he plays the role of Shri Krishna. Then he is given a golden crown, and then he is given a flute, and very special dresses are all given to him. And now he is in command of all the things in the stage, and he possesses, he is now, they are all his consorts and all that. But even while acting, he knows that he doesn't possess any of those things that he is wearing. And he is in a palace, he doesn't possess that, own that palace. And he ate consorts, they are not his consorts. He is just looking at it all from outside. He doesn't possess anything, he doesn't own anything. That is how we are, and we should know that. And then look at the life from that standpoint, from a distance, as though you look at life. You do not, I do not possess anything. And I cannot call anything my own. And then I remain unmoved. I remain without any attraction to the things of the world. So dispassion, dispassion, be passionately dispassionate. Dispassion, detachment, be detached. Don't be attached to anything. Just detach yourself from everything. And then become free from desires and fears. Become desireless. And try to become free from all self-concern. Try it. I am examining life. I am not giving a moral lecture. I am examining. I never do that. I am examining life. And so we have to give up all self-concern. And then just remain as pure awareness. And become free from all expectation, all self-interest and all self-concern. And that is the state of mind. A mind which is totally free from all expectation and all self-concern. A mind which is totally empty from all the worldly attachments. That is the mind which can discover the truth. You think by reading books you will get the truth? You are mistaken. You have to know that. You have not got it till all these years by reading the books. Books can only show the way. Walking you have to do. And vairagya is the first step. Therefore, only such a mind can discover the truth. So, and only such a, you need freedom to discover the truth. You need freedom. When you are tethered to the things, to the possessions, to the relations, etc., in that tethered condition of mind, you will not be able to discover the truth. You need freedom to discover, and that freedom comes from vairagya. Therefore, indriyartheshu vairagyam. Then, anahankara evacha. Anahankaraha. So, absence of ahankara. This is another important topic. You see, human problems are not simple. They are very complex, human problems. And so it requires patience and insight. To understand the human problems, one needs patience and insight. And so one has to understand oneself. Nobody can give you understanding on a platter. You have to discover the truth. You cannot inherit the truth. You cannot get it as an inheritance from anybody. And nobody can give it to you also. Nobody can give it to you. Generally, people assume that somebody else will give them the truth and time will come when the truth will come. You are making a mistake. Nobody can give you the truth. You cannot inherit from anybody else. Even Bhagavan cannot give you the truth. He can give you wealth, but not the truth. Truth, you must discover yourself. And we have to look at the life with patience and understand. And in that understanding, the discovery happens. Anyway, so that is the right approach towards life. Anahankara evacha. You see, I am is there. I am. It is an experience. I am is an experience. Because it is time-bound. In sleep, the experience called I am is not there. You wake up, then slowly the experience called I am happens. That experience persists. And then it goes away and comes back, goes away. So it is an experience. I am is an experience. This I am experience is there for every living being. Even a dog has this I am experience. In its own way, it may not know the language English I and am, but it has that I am. I am is not a thought. I am is the feeling. It is that the self-consciousness. That is what I mean by I am. And that I am self, that self-consciousness, it is there for every living being. Even a mosquito is self-conscious. And honeybee is self-conscious. It moves with other honeybees. And if somebody tries to take away its wealth of honey, it attacks. It is very self-conscious living being. Just I give you a small example. And so this I am-ness is common to every human being. But then what happens is that I am-ness, that sense of being, that sense of being, it gets attached to the limited. Instead of remaining the awareful witness of the limited, it becomes attached to the limited. Like I am aware of my, I am self-conscious. Then I witness the body, and then I am attached to the body. So this is how the I am experience gets attached to the body, and then it becomes ahankara. The aham becomes ahankara. How it becomes, I told you. So aham is not aham, aham is not ego. Aham is I am-ness, which is common to all living beings, including a great enlightened soul, that I am will be there. It is even animals, birds, every living being has the I am-ness. But then when the I am-ness is attached to the body, it becomes ahankara. Then there is a thing called abhimana. Abhimana is identifying. Identify with what? Identify with what you come to know. You come to know the body and then you identify with it. You see, you are not the body. You have to understand this. You are not the body. You come to know the body. I am, when you wake up, I am the body. But that I am and body, in between, there is a small process. The process is, I am aware of the body, now I identify with the body, therefore I am the body. That is the process. Only thing is, the identification is instant. It instantly happens. But if you practice, you can really disidentify. You have to practice disidentification. But then the disidentification won't come only with reference to body alone. It comes as a value. You have to stop identifying and practice disidentification. Don't identify with anything. For example, this is a beautiful flower. That is a positive identification. The flower doesn't say, I am beautiful. You are saying it is beautiful. That value which you have, a scale of value, you have a scale to measure beauty. And that scale you are applying to that. That is your scale, not the flower's scale. Your scale. And so this is more beautiful than this. The flowers don't know about that. It is your mind which says this is more beautiful than this. You are measuring with a scale. There is a scale in your mind, a beauty scale. You are applying and you measured this and you measured that. This came to 0.5, this came to 0.3. Therefore, this is more beautiful. You are doing that. This is what is called, this is called identification. My flower, of course, identification. Put it here, identification. This is less beautiful, negative identification. This is more beautiful, positive identification. So, you believe me, you should become bland. Bland. No identification. Just bland. So, somebody asked me, are you bland or what? I said, yes, I am bland. I love to be bland. Suppose food is served, this is wonderful. That is not so good. You don't put that anymore, but bring this. What is that? That is identification. Whereas, you are just bland. Anything is served, you eat like a cow you eat. Be bland. Become free from identification. And become free. You see, people, you look at free people. Be bland. Don't label anybody. He is a friend, he is foe, don't, no labels. He is Indian, he is American, he is Andhra, he is Madras, he is Punjab. No labels. total decided Hindu, Christian, Muslim, no labels. Become bland. Look at people like a novice, like a bland guy, like a child looks at people. That way you have to practice disidentification. As you practice disidentification at every level, the mind you remain space-like, jnanena akashakalpena. You remain space-like. And then slowly the body identification will go away. That is the last thing you have to. And then identification with ideas. There are ideas and we get identified with those ideas. And when you see two people are clashing, this is what they call ego clash. What happens is, one person said Republican Party is good. Another person said Democratic Party is good. Something like that, some example I am giving. And now there is a clash. Clash between whom? Clash between Democratic Party and they are ideas. What you call Republican is an idea. What you call Democrat, it is an idea. Where is democracy? Where is Democratic Party? It is in your mind. There is no such animal in this world. It is in your mind. It is an idea. And your idea clashes with the other person's idea. And the ideas don't clash. The egos which identify with the ideas clash. In fact, the clash degenerates to such a level, after a while you ask them, why are you fighting? Then they start thinking, yes, why are we fighting? What for we are fighting? They forget what for they are fighting. They forget that. You see, in these legal cases, they start the fight on a principle. On one point they start. On this point, he files a suit. And so the fight starts. And then that leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another. Like that, eventually, the whole thing becomes so complex. Now you have to go and ask the lawyer, what for we are fighting? What was the original contention in the first place? You have to ask the lawyer. The lawyers also do not know quite often. Very complex it is. That's why you need a lawyer. If it is simple, you don't need a lawyer. You can read it and understand yourself. Very complex. Anyway, this is how identification works. And so, abhimana, that is what I was saying, abhimana means identification, that leads to ahankara. If you do not identify, there is no ahankara. I look at the flower without identifying, it is called egoless awareness. There is awareness. I am not dumb. I am aware of the flower. But because I do not identify, there is no ego element in it. It is called egoless awareness. That is the anahankara evacha. You see, we get attached to body. And then we get attached to name. People are attached to name. Very seriously. Once I called a Mahatma by his name, some name. So, suppose you take this name, like Akhandananda, suppose some name. Some such names they have, these Swamis, you know. Hey, Akhandanandaji, I called. He told, I am Akhandananda Saraswati. I told, okay, Saraswati. Then he pats my back and says, "Are bhai, we are Saraswatis." Says, so be conscious of that. Yes, yes, we are Saraswatis. Why not? So we are Saraswati. I am one Saraswati, you are another Saraswati, begging for food around. Okay, let us do that. So, and hoping for some students will come to my class. The Saraswati is searching for students. And then, okay, it continues like that. So, name. People get attached to the name. What is a name? In fact, if your name is called, you do not become conscious of it. And then somebody else has to call you a second time. Oh, they are calling me. Then you become that kind of desire. You know what I mean? Yeah, one should become disidentified. No identification with name. Because that is all ego. That is all ahankara. Any identification. Actions. You do not identify with actions. దట్ ఈజ్ అహంకార. ఐ ఎమ్ స్టడీయింగ్ వేదాంత ఫర్ ది లాస్ట్ 2 decades, అహంకార. యు ఆర్ ఐడెంటిఫైయింగ్ యునో అహంకార ఇట్ ఈస్. ఐ సెడ్ స్టడీయింగ్, యూ కెన్ సే పుట్ ఇన్ ది ప్లేస్ ఆఫ్ స్టడీ, యూ కెన్ పుట్ అనదర్ వెర్బ్ లైక్ టీచింగ్, దట్ బికమ్స్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ అన్ ఐడియా, అండ్ సో దట్ ఈజ్ అహంకార. అండ్ దెన్ పొసెస్సింగ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, దట్ ఈజ్ అహంకార. లైక్ ఐ మేడ్ దిస్ బిల్డింగ్, ఐ మేడ్ దిస్ హౌస్, ఐ మేడ్ దిస్ గార్డెన్, లైక్ దాట్. సో ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ యూనో, సో దట్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్. దెన్ ఇమోషన్స్, వి ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ఇమోషన్స్, వీ షుడ్ నాట్ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ఇమోషన్స్. దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇమోషనలిజం ఈజ్ నాట్ గుడ్. సో యు సీ సార్, ఐ ఆమ్ వెరీ అటాచ్డ్ టు మై డాగ్, దట్ ఈజ్ ఇమోషన్, అండ్ యూఆర్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు ది డాగ్ ఈజ్ అన్ ఇమోషన్. ఓకే, యూ మే లెట్ ఇట్ బి దేర్, బట్ యూ డోంట్ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ఇట్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ నాట్ సమ్ గ్రేట్ థింగ్, ఇట్ ఈజ్ అన్ ఇమోషన్. అండ్ సో పీపుల్ ఆర్ ఐడెంటిఫైడ్ విత్ ఇమోషన్స్, యూనో. యూ షుడ్ నాట్ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ఇమోషన్. లైక్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, ఐ ఫీల్ గ్రేట్ వెన్ సో అండ్ సో పీపుల్ ఆర్ అరౌండ్ మీ, దట్ ఈజ్ అన్ ఇమోషన్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఎ సెంటిమెంటాలిటీ, సెంటిమెంటలిజం, ఇమోషనలిజం. పీపుల్ కల్టివేట్ దాట్ అండ్ దే ఆర్ ప్రౌడ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్. యూ సఫర్, ఇట్స్ ఓకే, యూ కెన్ బి ప్రౌడ్, బట్ దెన్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు పే ఎ ప్రైస్ ఫర్ ఇట్. సఫరింగ్ విల్ బి దేర్, ఇట్ విల్ బి జస్ట్ బై ది సైడ్ ఓన్లీ. అండ్ సఫరింగ్ ఆర్ నో సఫరింగ్, దట్ గోస్ అగెన్స్ట్ ది ట్రూత్, దట్ ఎస్టాబ్లిషెస్ ఎ పెకూలియర్ అహంకార ఇన్ ది మైండ్. దేర్ఫోర్ డోంట్ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ఇమోషన్స్, డోంట్ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ నాలెడ్జ్. నెవర్ సే ఐఎమ్ ఎ స్కాలర్ ఆఫ్ వ్యాకరణ, ఐఎమ్ ఎ స్కాలర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్, ఐఎమ్ ఎ స్కాలర్ ఆఫ్ దాట్. దట్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ది పాయింట్, దట్ ఈజ్ బిసైడ్స్ ది పాయింట్. బికాస్ వెన్ ది బ్రెయిన్ సెల్స్ స్టార్ట్ డయింగ్, యూ విల్ ఫర్గెట్ ఆల్ దాట్. Already we are forgetting many things. Therefore, better don't identify with knowledge. Let there be knowledge. If there is knowledge, then that is Ishwara's grace, and so for whatever reason it is there, let it be there. Then don't identify with a place. Identifying with a place is ahankara. I am Andhra. Ahankara it is. And people are proud of that. Very unfortunate. So, and don't identify with time. Don't identify with time. So whatever identification it is. So I was born in so-and-so lagna. That could be one identification with time. What do you mean by born in so-and-so lagna? Identification with time. You are not born, you should know that. You have some other examples for identification time you can take. This example struck my mind, so I said it. So, all these identifications lead to ahankara. What about ahankara? How it is produced or created, I told. What about its nature? It is not real. Ahankara is not real. It appears very real. In fact, it appears to be the essential content of the individual. Essential content of the individual is egoless awareness, space-like awareness. That is the essential content of the individual. Centerless, no center. That is the essential content of the individual. No center, but we live as a center whole life. That real it appears. That is the danger of this ahankara. It is a phantom, but appears very real. And it is mithya. So you have to develop a scheme to negate the ahankara. So the scheme to negate it begins with vairagya. First with vairagya. Start with vairagya, because it is the mamakara which strengthens the ahankara. Therefore, start with vairagya. Nirmamaha nirahankaraha, Shri Krishna in Gita. So, start with vairagya. That is the first step. Then, the enjoyership will go away. Vairagya, when you develop vairagya, enjoyership will go away. When enjoyership is gone, doership will go away. So, when doership also goes away, then ego, the status of being a limited person, the status of being an isolated entity, so that ownership or that possessive thing, that ego, egoity, that will go away. If egoity will go away, then what remains is a Sachidatma, that awareful being, centerless, egoless, awareful being. That is the Sachidatma, that is the Atmaswarupa. Therefore, to gain one's true nature, to gain one's, understand one's true nature, it is imperative that one has to negate the ego, anahankara evacha. We'll come back. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Guru Jho Namaha Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna.